So I've given myself permission to talk as if I were beginning a painting. And if I were beginning a painting, I wouldn't need to know where I was going or what was going to happen, or even if it would work or if it would make sense. And so I've given myself the same permission today in speaking to you. I heard this quote on NPR. A good conversation is a mutual agreement of uncertainty. And I feel in a way this mutual agreement of uncertainty is what I'm looking for all the time when I'm talking down in the studio with you, when I'm conversing with someone else, when I'm talking with myself, when I'm talking with my painting. There's this great uncertainty. What's going to happen? Where is this conversation going to go? What's going to happen next? And I don't know. And there's a scariness about not knowing. Anything could happen. Things could embarrass me. Things could come out that I didn't want to say or I was hiding from. Anything could happen. But I'm curious. Because in that anything, there's the possibility of surprise. And really, when I thought of talking with you, the one thing I really needed to hear was that I'm okay and I'm enough. And in a way, when I approach my painting, when I first started painting, it was 30 years ago, I came so full to it. I felt like, there's something, but I have no talent, no creativity. I don't know how to paint. But I was given the encouragement by my teacher, Michelle Cassou, to just begin, to pick up the brush. And in a way, that's all I'm ever doing, every moment. I'm picking up the brush. Sometimes I might have an idea, my body, or something's going to happen, but I never know really what it's going to look like. Even if I've painted the image over and over and over again, and I used to think you're not allowed to repeat things, that creativity means something new at every moment. So I have to come up with new images all the time. It's a lot of work. So in a way, in the beginning, it's the allowing of, this color, red, blue, yellow, it feels so good. I can do as much as I want. I can do it over and over and over again. What permission? And if I don't have to know where I'm going, then there can't go wrong. There's no problem. So I would start, and I'm starting now, and then just letting it go and seeing what happens. And then along comes the critics, the committee, the ones that love to give their opinion about my painting and their interpretation, and then I'm blocked, worrying. Does it make sense? Does it matter? I have a lot of paintings that mattered, and somehow they're sitting there. And maybe something will happen with them, maybe it won't, but it seems like that white piece of paper keeps calling to me, and that same uncertainty is still there. There's never this place that says, I'm a master, I've arrived, I know how to do this. Because in that knowing, there's something that can't be born. That not knowing, that uncertainty allows for something new, some possibility to come through. And even when I judge it, even when I think nothing's happening, when I'm downstairs, working downstairs with people that are here for the first time, painters, non-painters, there's something tremendous unfolding at every moment. I feel so privileged to be a part of this unfolding, to witness it. And there's something about being witnessed in it. Because I feel like to come out of hiding, to realize there's a place. Well, if I was alone, I'd paint all these different things. But when I'm alone, it's not the same. There's something that loves painting with other people. There's an encouragement to keep going. I see the strength of other people moving wherever they're moving, and it's like, I can do this. I can keep going. Even if I want to stop, even if I feel scared, even if something feels like it's pushing and I don't know how to touch this something, I can give it a try. And I often talk about downstairs about trying things on, letting ourselves just experiment. Maybe it'll ruin the painting, but it won't ruin my life. This life is a very resilient part of ourselves. It seems to keep going. It seems to keep pushing and wanting to grow. It doesn't seem to want to settle. There's a part when the painting feels really exciting and good. Ah, I'll have this forever. And then slowly it starts to turn and things, strange things want to happen and I get lost. And maybe it was a little while ago, I couldn't remember why I painted. There was no reason anymore. The reasons I used to paint, the excitement, the discovery, I couldn't find it. There was this period of time where I just, why am I doing this? But I couldn't find a reason not to do it either. It was like, okay, I don't know why to do it, but I don't know why not to do it, so I might as well just do it and see what happens. So I show up. I don't understand what's happening. I put the brush on the paper. I'm moving. Doesn't seem like it matters. Doesn't seem like anything's really responding. I hear people downstairs say, oh, I can't relate to it. I don't feel anything. And often when I'm painting, I can't tell you I'm feeling. I feel that what I call feelings are often confused with this dramatic bursts, which are very exciting in the painting process. If I'm very angry, it can fuel a whole series of paintings and these big monsters and images and everything can happen. It's very exciting. But then when that energy has passed, well, I cannot paint or I can move in this quiet place. So I show up for the quietness too. And maybe I'm judging it. Maybe I love it. Maybe it's like, look at this. And some discoveries happen. But this period of time recently, it seemed like nothing was happening. But I was curious about that too. Even that place of nothing happening was questionable. Because what do I know? I base nothing on thinking I know what happened before and how I'd like it to be. But what this thing we call nothing is an amazingly rich state if we're willing to hang out in it. It doesn't leave much room for conversation if you're looking to know and to tell people I'm certain and this is happening. But there's another kind of conversation that begins to arise from these places of lostness, stuckness, uncertainty. And I feel like at this time in my life, I feel something's changing. I just find myself really wanting to have these conversations with people. What's really calling to your heart? What is it that you really want to talk about? Or as Sue was saying, what is it you really want to say? Or what is it you really want to write? What is it you really want to paint? Because there's this thing that's happening, and then there's this other thing inside. What is it? And I'm curious about that. So I look downstairs and I watch this unfolding going on and people going, nothing's happening. Or we look at everyone else's paintings and think, they have it, but I don't. And I feel like we haven't learned to see what's happening through us. And maybe it's not seeable, maybe it's not knowable, but we feel it in our bodies. We're alive with it. And even if it's undescribable, something is happening. And to start to begin these conversations about this, where the words are awkward, we don't recognize them, it has its own language. And I'm so curious about it these days. So recently I was going to my painting. It was after one of those short pauses of, oh, what's going on? Maybe I was scribbling for a while. And there's always the possibility when I don't know what to paint to scribble, to just let these paintings happen fast and be chaotic. There's something where people discount them. But I count them as part of the whole. And I allow them to just keep keeping me moving. Maybe I'll find a color I've used a million times, or a new color, or a funny shape. But then this one time I recently found, after this series of scribbling, I found myself painting babies. I was like, what? At this time in my life, babies? You know, I've been there, done that. And I was just painting babies and babies. It's like one painting after another after another. And when I didn't have time to paint, I would draw. And I just couldn't stop drawing all these babies. And I'm like, this is so funny. But I didn't look to really understand what was going on, because it wasn't understandable on my level. And then 2 months later, I get the call from my daughter. Mom, I'm pregnant. I've been pregnant for 2 months. And I'm like, oh, maybe I knew that. I feel there's a funny thing that we call this great not knowing, but I feel it's also a great knowing that when I can get out of my way, something deeply knows. And it's as simple as when I touch the color to the paper, when it's the right color, my whole body relaxes or gets excited or has some response, or tears flow. It might not be the response I want, but something starts to happen, this conversation, and I have no idea where it's going. And to learn to trust even the parts I want to discount. Doesn't look good. Nah, doesn't say anything. And just keep moving to show up for ourselves. And then there's the pauses. I think sometimes in my painting I worry, what if nothing happens? What if I don't know? Nothing will come out. But I always found that those white pieces of paper never stay white. Something happens. Recently I offer children's classes, and usually I work with 4 to 6 children, and it's a very beautiful experience. And recently I opened the door and 13 children came in. And it was like, oh, and Claudia came and helped me. And we're watching these young children just move back and forth, back and forth. It's an hour class. They never stop once. They never ask me, how do I do it? They never pause. They just pick up the color. They put it on the paper. They bump into each other's bodies. They don't say, excuse me. They don't care. It's like this pull and push between them. It's between them and their paper. These little images come out. They don't stop to think, how do I do it? How do I paint myself? And oh, they just let themselves do it. Real play, real response to the moment, to the color, to life. And not every child does that. I had one little girl who stood in front of the painting, brush in hand, and she stood there for 59 minutes. The last minute, she leaned forward and put a dot. It was very beautiful to watch, because I realized I could ask her questions, I could say something, but in watching, she got to be with herself, with her experience. It wasn't going to be taken from her. And I think sometimes we want to jump the awkward places, the uncomfortableness, the places of fear. We want to jump them and have this masterpiece. But we're missing all that's happening until that one dot comes. The next week she came in, And I think it took a half hour before she got moving. And the week after, maybe 10 minutes. And after that, she was painting. Her body was warming her up in her own unique way. And I feel that's all we're ever doing, is finding our way. And we have to know that's okay and that's enough. That we're the only one that can do it this way. That our voice can look this way. We're looking outside ourselves. Is that the way a painting's supposed to look? You know, we're taught, or people have been taught, this is what art is, this is what beauty is. It's so confusing. Because in us, we really know what it is. We really know that certain colors can be going this way and that way, even if the masters don't approve. Especially when the masters don't approve. We have to know that our way is valid. And that's a hard thing to get to, but I think it comes with practice. One brush stroke at a time, letting ourselves find our way. So downstairs, there isn't much instruction that most of you have noticed, but we have conversations. And the conversations tend to start sometimes like, I don't know what to do, I'm stuck, nothing's happening, I can't, I don't like it, I might ruin the painting. But then the conversation underneath it is, am I enough? What would it take? What would I love to do? What's really happening here? And when we have permission for those kind of conversations, our being sometimes, always, can find its way. It begins. Again, it's not that we like what we're doing. But if liking weren't the requirement, if I could even have permission to hate it, that's a powerful thing. That you don't have to like everything that comes out of you. Oh, I can do that. Permission for a mess? I could do that. Where would it give you permission? What do you need to hear to make it okay? Originally, I wasn't scheduled to do this retreat, and I thought, oh, I'd have an extra year to prepare for a talk. And in that year, I'm sure I'd get it right. And I'm watching all week, you know, it's like, I can relax today. The talk's not coming yet. I can relax. And then today, I'm like grabbing. Is this it? Is this it? And then it's like, oh, what do I need? What do I need to hear? And yet, if Anna said to me today, you don't need to talk, I would miss this chance. I would miss the opportunity to see if anything happened. Or if nothing happened, if that would be okay. So if I show up, I get to see what happens. And that's all really, I feel, creativity asks of us. Can we show up in any state? Can I show up when I don't want to show up? Can I show up when I'm angry? Can I show up when I'm in sorrow? After the death of my brother, I couldn't paint. I couldn't paint the paintings I was painting. I had to put them aside. A new painting was pushing. I had to paint my brother. I had to paint him, and I had to paint his death, and I had to paint it from a place of a little kid because I don't understand death. I don't know what this is. It's a word. It scares me. And I feel like with the children, when we watch them, they use play to process. I use my painting to explore and to process what I don't know. So I let myself paint the scariest things. And I found that in the painting of his death, of his body decaying, of the compost, of the worms eating him, all the things that I couldn't really process, there was an amazing excitement and joy and life coming through. I thought, how could this be? But I realized there's so little I understand. I call it death. But do I know it? I call it grief. Do I know it? I call it sorrow. Do I know it? And I feel the painting gives me that opportunity to know it. When tumors come, sometimes I can paint them and exaggerate them and put them in places. Ah, it scares me when I think about it, but when I paint it, I'm like a little kid. What if it didn't have to be controlled? What if it could go where it wanted to go? These things that scare us can have a color and a life force and an energy, and suddenly the fear moves aside and this incredible curiosity awakens. And in that, a liveliness is born. I never know where the next place is. But I know that I couldn't stop here. I couldn't say, thank you, I've done enough paintings, there's one on this wall, or, you know, I can't say stop, because it's the painter that's awakened, the one who's curious that's awakened. More important than that piece of paper is what's being awakened in you. And it's happening every second. With every image, every color, every stroke that we discount, it's happening. And it carries over. And at one point I thought, I can't really talk about painting today because painting is not separate from anything else anymore. It looks like what happens in front of the piece of paper or that piece of paper, but it's the same thing that's happening if I'm teaching, if I'm interacting, if I'm eating, if I'm walking, if I'm looking at these amazing turkeys on Spirit Rock Land that are just the amazing teachers they are. It's like everywhere, everything is this mystery. Do you ever walk with a child and watch how they stop at every second and have to stare at the little ants walking as if they've never seen them before, even though 5 minutes ago they stopped and stared? And they look up at the sky when they hear a noise, and they watch the trucks like they've never seen them. This wonder and curiosity. And if there's an image like a snake, and they seem to come in these paintings, have you noticed that? These images that repeat themselves, and it'll come, and it's like, ah, what is this one like? What is this dot like? It's no different. It's not about the image. It's about my relationship to allowing things to move through, because life is moving through. We can't stop it. It's a given. So in this place of not knowing, uncertainty, there's an amazing thing happening. I'm not sure I have anything more that I can come with. I can pause for a while, but I can often also open it if there's a question that's coming to you that you would like to talk with me about, talk with us about. Let's see. I don't know if I can. Okay, can I say more about this great knowing and this great unknowing? What I would like to say about it is that it seems like we like to divide things into duality. There's the knowing, and then, of course, there's the not knowing. There's the right and the wrong, the dark and the light. So whatever I create as a knowing, then I imagine everything else is this unknowing. But I feel like there's something else. I divide it into death and life. And it seems like when I paint and I explore, I'm finding that there's this place, maybe it's called presence, where knowing and unknowing, all of it drops away. And there just is the what's happening right now. And so I get confused. Which was the knowing? Which was the not knowing? Did I know this? Because I don't know what color to take. And so I try. I put a few different colors. And then when I put this one color there, maybe it's green, orange, yellow, I know. I know, like I've always known it in my heart, that this is exactly what I need right now. So they work together. They're not separate. I don't know if there's more that comes to your question and there's another part to it, I'm happy to go a little further with you. Then what do you have right now? And in that not knowing, does that imply nothing's happening? I almost feel most of the time we don't know. We tell stories, we create ideas, we say this is going on, I feel this, I'm this kind of person. We create identity stories to look like we know. But the truth is, most of the time, even if I tell you I'm painting my body and this is happening, there really isn't a knowing. It's just the story I tell myself while I'm doing it, probably for entertainment, to keep me anchored somewhere. My mind likes to be anchored while something else is flowing. So in this place that doesn't know and thinks it should know, but it doesn't, something is happening. Something's waking up. And that's why these conversations are beautiful, because something, there's some sensation going on. Maybe there's a pressure. Maybe that's the only thing I can start with. But somewhere there's something. Or nothing. And at some point, an insight will come. Ah. Or a knowing may happen. But until I know, I don't know. And all of that which is included in it. And that's a vast inclusion of everything in that unknowing. So you see, the words knowing, not knowing are here, and then there's all this. So where am I at any point in time? I can tell you I know or I don't know, and then all this other stuff. Does that make sense? I'm glad. I'm not sure. Anything else we cannot answer here? We could look it together and just be uncertain with, yes. Okay, how do I balance the time in the studio and the time in life? And if some, and all I can say is it seems on the whole it balances itself. But some days I might paint 7-10 hours a day, and some days I may not paint at all. And yet there's something moving through me, and sometimes there will be a great disturbance and it doesn't stop because I'm not painting, and it doesn't go away because I'm painting. It's in a way, it's like watching everything move, whether I'm sleeping or painting. So I do set aside time to paint. I like for myself having the structure of a time. What I do while I'm painting, I don't structure at all. But there's something that I hold myself at least a few hours, 2-3 hours, because in a way, that place where I'm least comfortable is when I don't want to do it, is when I try to show up for myself. And if that's not easy, I make a paint date. I grab some friends and say, come paint with me. Because if I can't hold myself there, I like to have other people that will hold me there. And so I imagine it balances itself in the long run. And sometimes maybe things don't get so balanced. When my child was young, there was less time for painting, but my life and my practice was my child. And then as she grew older and could pick up a paintbrush, it was our practice. And now I'll have a grandchild soon. It'll be our practice. So I think that in a way, it all balances. And I don't know if that answers your question. Or if there's more to your question you'd like to ask. Okay. You know, oh, thank you, I'm sorry. How do you deal with harsh critics? So you mean not the ones in your mind? Oh, your mom, for instance. Yes, yes. So are you talking specifically about your painting? Like they'll comment on the work that you're doing. Yes, how beautiful to notice that any comment can interrupt us. So even our need to find someone to tell me I'm doing it right can interrupt us in a way. That need for approval, or which brings disapproval, can interrupt us. So sometimes, I mean, I rarely will show anybody what I'm doing while I'm doing it, because I feel that it's this precious place that's unfolding, and I really don't want to open it to anyone to give me a comment on it. But when I'm painting with other painters, what I really love is to sometimes sit down and talk about what's going on while I'm painting. Not while I'm painting, but to sit and have a conversation about what's happening. Later on, it could be 10 years, 5 years, if I bring the paintings out and people comment on it, it probably doesn't matter as much. And if it does, I don't bring them out again for a while. But what's inside of me right now is the need to keep creating. So I think each person has to decide what supports your creativity, what nurtures it, what helps it to flourish. And for each person, that might be a different answer. But keeping it away from my mother is probably a good idea. At this point. Yes.
Here's what I've noticed. The work that I've made that I can't stand, people love. And the work that I really love, people are indifferent to, or they can't stand it. Does that mean that I have bad taste?
So have you heard that? He was saying that the work he doesn't like, people love, and the work that they love. I'm sure you get the idea. I'm sorry, I can't repeat things so well. But does that mean you have bad taste? Is that it? Was that your question? Yeah. What a funny question. I feel like, how do we learn? Really, the question is, how do I learn to trust what's moving through me? Because somebody's going to love what I do. Somebody's going to hate what I do. There will always be someone giving me some different opinion. And if I'm painting for that, it's very confusing. And if I'm trying to orient myself to it, it's so confusing. And so in a way, I need some place where no matter what I do, it's got to be okay for me, even if it's a mess, even if I don't know. And it's not an easy place to get to, because really a lot of the work in the beginning is we're trying to get rid of all the voices of every teacher, every lover, every parent, every friend, everyone in their good well-meaningness has given us advice. Do this, don't do this. But we need to know what's true for us. If you look at the children with their natural curiosity and you say, don't touch that, whatever that is, don't touch the pillow, they will touch the pillow because they're curious. They don't hear don't, they just hear touch. And in a way, we are the same way. We want to know and we want to break the boundaries and we want to move out and find out what's too much, not for them, but for ourselves. I don't know if that's answered your question. Okay. Yes, please. the borderlines of where you need to step back and not share them. I don't have an answer. This is an amazing... Were you done with your...
What?
I feel like for a long time, 30 years, I have kept my paintings to myself, except if there have been other people in the studio, and that's changing. And I don't... I feel like in this change, I don't have answers here. It's an experiment of how to bring them out in the world in a way that feels nurturing, not because I want you to see that something about me, but because there's something amazing from where I started to where it's going. And so there's a way that I'm beginning to look at ways to show them. A slideshow is in the works right now. Someone's helping me do that, but I don't know what's right for everyone, but I know that we can only see what's supporting us to keep going, because it really isn't about the 30 years of painting sitting down in my garage. It's about what's keeping me painting and exploring. So, you know, some people see these paintings and just want to do more, and they're curious and they say, tell me more about it. So there's that response, and it's finding there will be an audience for it, I imagine. Right, right. Exactly. Right, that's it. The good news is if we're painting for ourselves, you know, it's like, what's next? Yes.
Can we come downstairs and see what's happening
then? You're welcome in between sessions to walk through, and I believe the last night will actually... by invitation, invite people to that have been painting, if they would like to, put out their paintings and people can walk through without commenting and just take it all in. So you're welcome to walk through in between sessions, and that will also be there on the last evening.
But no critics allowed.
Anything else? There's a question. Oh, yes, Chris.
It's not about the product. I mean, it's the same for writing. It's not about the publishing. And I've been writing for years, writing. Then what? And if it's not for an audience, which I don't know, I sort of like an audience, but what is it for then?
Right. What is the value in doing this if it's not for the product, if it's not for the audience, if it's not for the great novel and the great masterpiece? What's the purpose? I think it's pretty much as simple as that. I think that we're born with the need to express. I feel that someone was saying we can get more than one piece of paper. In the childhood, it was one piece of paper, but I feel like even the cavemen, they use the walls of the cave. You know, it was in us to express. And I think we can't help ourselves, and we're supposed to do that. And then, you know, in a way, there's a way to share it. There's other ways to work with it. I'm just specifically speaking to this process that's happening between me and the paper. There are many ways to go from there. Of course, there are novels that are wonderful, touching. There are paintings that touch us deeply. Of course. I'm just speaking to this. Is there a purpose if I don't know where it's going? And that's pretty much, if I don't know what's going to happen, or if I discount it, is it still valid? Is my voice valid? And I think that's for each of us to answer. And in that moment of connection, hooking up with the right movement, the right moment, the right word on the page, when life just pours through in that moment, I think the answer is already there. And it doesn't need any acknowledgement because it's so immediate. And we have it for seconds, for moments, moment to moment. And then it builds. And we get a hunger for it. We get this feeling like, I want more. I want this true connection to this whole movement of life. And you've all had it downstairs. I'm sure you've had it on the paper and writing. There's seconds. Of course, we want more and more and more. What's the purpose? Yes. Okay. Yes.
And, you know, so I would whine. Why do I have this desire? And I got so sick of whining that I finally had this conversation with myself where I said to the whiner, can you imagine a life where you don't write? And the whiner said, no.
That's great. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Sometimes I'll lie down thinking, oh, I'm so tired, I can't paint, and the painting will pull me. It's like, come on, you're not going to sleep. It kind of pushes in me. It's like it's deciding at some point. And it's like, okay, I have to listen. There's a bigger teaching going on here, much bigger than myself. And when you touch that, you realize, okay. Yes. How have I dealt with my inner critics? You know, they're there with me. They've become companions and friends, and they become less believable as the movement of the brush keeps happening. I keep on doing it. And if I can't, like I said, I get the people next to me. I set up the time with people around me. Sometimes that's what supports me to keep moving when they're screaming at me. So those harsh critics get softer and softer when I'm not believing them so much. And sometimes I've had to paint them, and they've taken on very big faces, and some of them I recognized. And in a way, to give them form and color takes the power away from them. They're only powerful when I keep them in the dark or when I believe what they're saying. So they tell me it's messy, so I paint messier, and then I'm free of their critic. So anything they're telling me, I find out what's so bad about it. So the invitation is, let me find out what's so bad about the worst things. And then suddenly, more things are possible. You're welcome. One last question. Yeah. It sure does, doesn't it? We seem to want it, we seem to want that, but there's something that we want more than that, I think, and that's, for me, is there something driving us that's bigger than that? But I love that the heart really isn't controllable. It has a bigger wish for us. So thank you. Thank you all for sitting with me in this uncertainty, never knowing what would come out. I appreciate it.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.